Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
To Giants fans out there, I will tell you this. I believe you've got the right coach.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think these guys are playing their asses off for him. They're not getting the wins.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Seattle Seahawks linebacker Bobby Wagner, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Coming up, comedian Eric Andre. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here on our program. TJ Jefferson celebrating a putt.
Did you make that?
Yeah, he did.
Of course, he says.
All right, he's been making more putts this week. This may be his best week yet.
That's true. I think you're right about that.
Nowhere to go but up. I am Rich Eisen. I am hour number three host, just like hours number one and two. I'm trying to be consistent.
Rich, can I touch on that putting thing real quick?
TJ Jefferson, sure.
Wow.
Somebody challenged me on the phone the other day about the putt, so I knew I had to step my game up. My mother called me last week and said that she was ready to call into the show to say, why doesn't somebody tell TJ to work on his putting? And I'm like, oh, now you're like, now you're going to troll me, Ma?
So by the way, you realize if your mother wants to call the show, we're a mom-friendly program.
No, I told her don't ever do that. Don't
why?
Ever call it.
Why?
Because she'll start telling stories and, you know.
My mom used to make certificates we gave out for the week-to-week player of the week.
That
our first
true.
Year.
Yeah.
Our first year. By the way, I think is today our 6-year anniversary? November 4th? Or
great,
is that NFL
Network?
I can't keep track. If we could be November 6th and NFL Network is November 4th. I think it was 19 years ago today I strolled onto the set.
I feel like we are November 6th TV and radio.
Yeah, I've got two November anniversaries. It's tough for me to keep straight.
Wait, so today is NFL Network's anniversary?
I think so. 19 years ago.
How about that?
It's 19 years ago. No, gosh, 17 years ago.
You were the first on-air employee, correct?
I was. The first voice you heard was Steve Sable, because the hallmark that you hear and you see at the beginning of every NFL Network tentpole broadcast, it's just like you are watching a production of NFL Network. It's Steve Sable's voice.
Yeah.
And so that was the first thing you heard. And then it was a countdown. We came on the air at 7:58 p.m., I believe, on November 4th. It'd be odd if it was another day and we were talking about it. It could have been yesterday. But I got kind of lost in the shuffle of events. And
trade deadline.
So we came on the air. NFL Total Access at the time was an 8 p.m. Eastern start. And that was the first show in the history of NFL Network. Came on the air at 8 o'clock Eastern time, but actually came on at 7:58 p.m., and had like a 2-minute warning video that NFL Films cut, counting down the 2 minutes to the start of NFL Network. Pretty cool. I strolled out.
And the rest is history.
On the set with a big head of lettuce, monster head of lettuce, and welcomed everybody. I said, I think your dreams have come true, or something along those lines. That was scripted.
Who wrote it? And then it got approved by like everybody.
It ran through a gauntlet of people.
Stevie B had the final say, though. Right?
Steve Bornstein, Rich. I mean, what are you writing? I need to see. I mean, it went through him. Bill Creasy, who was a longtime producer.
No relation to John Creasy, the head of Cobra Kai.
Everybody, that's correct.
That's Creasy, though.
Yeah, man. Jeff Mason, some real old school war horse television, sports TV producers. Everybody took a pass at that.
So we were October 6th.
For just on the air.
For a television show.
Right.
And I feel like we were November 3rd because November 3rd was a Monday in 2014. Did we go on the air on Monday? I can't remember. It's been so long.
It's terrible.
You did.
It was midweek, I thought.
Yeah, we started a midweek situation.
So maybe it was the 4th. Maybe it was today.
I don't know. It was whenever, you know, our radio network at the time said, we're ready for you.
Right. Well, today is the NFL Network anniversary, November 4th, 2003.
Had a lot more hair. 17 years ago, man. Our first guest was Tagliabue. Our first team cam interview, where we fired up a newfangled device that each All 32 teams got a camera. Mm-hmm. It was way before all of these webcams and whatever. Brian Urlacher joined us on Bears Cam. And our first in-studio guest in the history of NFL Network, physically there, was Trent Green of the then undefeated Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
Jeez. And the reason why he was available is NFL Network's offices to this day, I think this is our last year there before we move into the Stan Canyon up the street here, where our new building right near the new Rams Chargers, SoFi home stadium. He was available because NFL Network was down the street from Sony Television and Movie Studios in Culver City. The reason why I bring that up is it's the home of Wheel of Fortune, and it was Players Week. And Trent Green went from the set of Wheel of Fortune to the set of NFL Total Access and did his segment.
Okay.
With me and Seth Joyner and current defensive coordinator of your Seattle Seahawks, Ken Norton Jr.
Jeez. Those are the days, man.
And just to bring this all full circle, before you get to your news update. Didn't know I'd be going down memory lane.
Yeah, I was trying to look at old pictures to see if I could figure out the exact date for us.
Sometimes we just jump on roads.
I think it was like our first year or second year. Could have been the first year still. And Susie, my wife, was covering USC Trojan football. Mm-hmm. And said, do you want me to get Pete Carroll for you in studio? Like, sure. Former coach of the Jets and Patriots, which is basically what, longtime coach in the NFL, was now up here at USC killing it. Mm-hmm. He comes in studio and says to Ken Norton Jr. after a show, walk me out to my car. And Ken, at the time, a big UCLA and still to this day legend here in this town in Los Angeles. If I'm not mistaken, the current coach at UCLA was Carl Durrell and did not invite Ken, who was a diehard high school football coach, did not invite him to be on his staff. So Pete invited Ken Norton onto his staff, walking out to his car, said, Ken, why don't you walk with me?
Really?
And to this day, he's part of Pete Carroll's staff.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm wondering, if he accepted Susie's, overture on behalf of NFL Network and me for that reason specifically.
How about that?
I've never asked Pete that question. I'm wondering if I, Rich, I was really wanted to be on NFL Network and, do a favor for your wife, do a favor for you. I don't know.
Then you got to wonder, had it not happened, would Ken Norton not be coaching?
As you know, he's been with Seattle and pretty much, I think he went somewhere else for a brief bit.
After he left Dallas, I kind of lost track of what Ken was doing.
Ken Norton Jr. And he and Brenson Buckner, who was on the Carolina Panthers at the time, in that year that they made the Super Bowl, they went at it. We split screened him on him in studio and Brenson on Panthers cam, and Brenson was a star. Like he was the first NFL Network player star that would come on and just show off his personality. We had him on all the time because he just went right at Ken. At one point, if you remember, the McDonald's had an ad where it was a guy with a half moon head.
Was it Mac the Knife?
You remember that commercial campaign?
Yeah.
Brenson called Ken Norton Jr. Moonface, the McDonald's Moonface guy. Oh, my gosh. Everybody out there at NFL Network knows who's been there since day one knows that he was amazing. And our first player that showed up in person for 2-3 days was Jerome Bettis. He was great. And we asked him if he wanted to go bowling, as part of a team building venture, and also we could shoot a camera and make it content. Mm-hmm. And he said he would, if he had his bowling ball with him, he would not use the alley's bowling balls. So I think he had it shipped to him so he would go bowling. He's a snob. bowling ball snob. Jerome Bettis. Who knew I would be talking about that today?
Real serious.
Okay, so Chris Brockman, you have your news update over there? Yeah. I finally, my stream of consciousness has ended.
That's great, I love it.
Jeez, 17 years of memory.
I love stories like that.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Hey, Chris.
Here's some news. Just some COVID updates. As we mentioned earlier today, the 49ers shut down their facilities today after Kendrick Bourne got tested positive and put on the COVID reserve list. They are doing contact tracing throughout the day, but Thursday Night Football is still on as of right now. Packers and 49ers. The Packers are traveling to San Francisco, so let's keep an eye on that. Always a fluid situation.
Yes, sir.
Some injury updates. Christian McCaffrey returned to practice today, Rich. So
the miracle, the fantasy miracle of Mike Davis is finally coming to an end, huh?
We shall see. It seems like this could be the last week of the
Mike Davis, the Judah Maccabee of fantasy football. For those who might not understand, I'm giving you the analogy of Hanukkah. The miracle of Hanukkah is the oil that was only supposed to burn for one day, burned for eight. Mike Davis.
Mazel tov, Mike.
He burned for six fantasy weeks, man.
How many wins did he get you?
Not enough.
Yeah.
Last couple weeks is not he's been productive fantasy wise.
All right, so good.
So
news.
Here comes McCaffrey good just in time Panthers, for the Chiefs, yeah. Man. They need him.
Big time. The NFL upheld the 2-game suspension of Bears wide receiver Javon Wims after that crazy situation in the Saints game. So he's out for the next 2 weeks.
How about we didn't talk about this yesterday? Malcolm Jenkins, who was on the show, saying he's never seen anything like that ever on a football field.
Really weird. He's like, just go get another mouthpiece. Man,
they're
free.
Yeah, no, they're free. Go back to the sideline and get another mouthpiece. But Wims was stewing on it, man, for like a good 10, 15 actual real-life minutes. And we never really revisited what Malcolm had to say on that, but
Makes sense, man. As we mentioned earlier, the Cowboys, one and done for the Ben DiNucci era. TJ, how was the Ben DiNucci era for you?
We're going to have to give that an incomplete grade,
okay?
I believe.
Looks like it's going to be Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert going to start against the Steelers. No decision yet from Mike McCarthy.
Make the Steelers look at 2017 Dallas Cowboys preseason film or 2019 Can you acquire 2019 Orlando Apollo's AAF film 22 all 22?
Just hit up
for
the Rock.
Garrett Gilbert right away. Can you do that?
Yeah, it's somewhere.
We'll hit up the Rock. He'll
like,
send it.
Literally, that is what some there is some quality control or some individual who is searching for that film right now for Mike Tomlin to check out.
And Brockman, could you put some respect on Super Bowl champion Garrett Gilbert's
That's
name.
My fault. Super
Please.
Bowl champion Garrett Gilbert.
In the 2015 Patriots.
Yeah, I think he was on the practice squad. Right, Mike McCarthy said, obviously, Ben's experience Sunday night. I think we knew the facts going in, the speed of the game, the challenges presented to him. I just felt what the opponent were playing this week.
Oh, Pittsburgh
Steelers undefeated. Oh, yeah. We need some more experience at that position. Good luck to those two. Okay, guys, Antonio Brown hit the practice field today for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bruce Arians said in his first practice went well. He was going full speed. Everyone else was walking. That's him anyway. Antonio Brown met the media today and talked about being back.
Well, I've just been spending a lot of time with family, working on myself with them, and just staying resilient, you know, keeping the mind on the mission. Being a football player and doing all the things that come with that, even when the times got hard, you know, keeping myself in shape, keeping myself motivated from within, not listening to the naysayers or not giving doubt or worries about will I be able to return. You know, I had good trainers, good people around me in my corner that kept me encouraged, that kept me motivated. And I just believed, you know, I knew one day I would get a chance to be back in this position. And I just try to check every box to make sure when I was able to get back, you know, that I was ready to go.
Hey, I've said it here before. I'll say it again. He's a special, special talent on the National Football League field. He is one of the best football players I've ever seen. He is a self-made individual from South Florida, had to go to Central Michigan to find his way into the NFL, drafted fifth round by the Steelers, who were saying, okay, let's pay Mike Wallace, who was the guy at the time. And then Antonio Brown showed up, raised his hand, and say, I am the best player on this field for Ben Roethlisberger to go target. And he balled out in a Hall of Fame manner and then just absolutely went sideways. And I have no idea why. He's saying working on himself. I am assuming that means seeing somebody to help work things out. Or you're nodding your head like he talked about that, Chris?
Yeah, yeah. So a couple other quotes. He said he's been working with Tony Robbins, someone, obviously Tony Robbins, who Tom Brady hooked him up with. Says it changed his outlook and helped him get away from the anger and aligned him with his purpose. Was asked about those people who say he doesn't deserve another chance to be in the NFL. Antonio said, hopefully I can change their perception.
Okay. Like I said, in terms of naysayers, I always said he needed to get some help and figure something out because it was clear that he was disturbed. I mean, you know, I don't use those words lightly. Talking to a microphone about somebody else's mental state is not why I do this job. I don't wake up every day saying I want to be judgmental at all. So I hope he has straightened that out. And I don't know if this was purposeful or was the only hat that was just hanging out as he was leaving the Brady manse today where he's reportedly living, but he was wearing a TB12 lid. So he's all in on the Brady train, man.
Yeah, said that Tom's one of his best friends and a great guy.
If Tom's hooking him up with somebody, Tom's hooking himself up with somebody like Tony Robbins,
right.
You know, and he's hooking himself up. He's hooking him up with a place to stay and helping him find his purpose. Honestly, he wouldn't be here on Tampa if Tom went to Vegas. If Tom went anywhere else, he would not be sitting there in Tampa.
Definitely not.
He might be sitting wherever Tom is, but he's lucky to have somebody like Tom Brady throw his arm around him and say, I got you.
Yeah, I think you're right. One last bit of sound. Jets GM Joe Douglas talked about Adam Gase.
Actually, dude, hold on a second.
We don't want to.
We will play this, but I've got Eric Andre coming up. And I know I'm going to go somewhere with this.
Okay. All right.
I know what he said.
Okay.
I can't believe what he said.
Well, I don't know if the listeners know what he said.
I know what he said. And if the listeners don't know what he said, trust me, you want to stay tuned to hear what I say about it. How does that sound?
That's great tease.
Okay, because I don't want to be late for Eric, and I want to, use a phrase, explore the studio space with this one. Eric Andre of Adult Swim's The Eric Andre Show. I have no idea how this interview is going to go, but it'll be fun. That's next on Peacock and More. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. We're on the air every day at noon Eastern time, right after Dan Patrick, right before Brother from Another, which we'll be back on with a new show later on at the top of this hour with Michael Holly and Michael Smith. And I do believe Holly is... he is booked to appear on this show tomorrow before his show. So do you have any photographs, anything that you could bring to help produce that segment, TJ Jefferson?
Man, we didn't, back in those mid, early 90s days, the picture taken wasn't quite like it was now. So.
Right. So, I mean, there's nothing that you went to the old photo mat to go get developed?
Yeah, we had a few of those. I'm going to have to put out a group text to our college friends tonight.
Okay.
See if someone's got something.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So that'll be on tomorrow's edition of the show. So it'll start with Steve Mariucci and end with Michael Holly. That's how we're rolling here on the Rich Eisen Show on Thursday. We still have Eric Andre, who's going to be joining us in a short amount of time. We're back here on our Rich Eisen Show radio simulcast right now. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got Eric Andre calling in a matter of moments here. I'll take Jake in New York to set the table right here. What's up, Jake? Been hanging out a while.
Rich, thanks. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me. And I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, go for
it. You just mentioned about this Joe Douglas comment. But as a diehard Jets fan, I've been patient since 2009 or 2010, excuse me, and just waiting and just biting my time and waiting. And I thought with the whole Sam Darnold experience and everything about this, it was going to be right. They messed it up, and you're a nicer guy than me, but it was because of Adam Gase. They messed it up. A lot of other decisions, but Adam Gase is the reason why we are. To hear Joe, who I hear, and you've said it and other people have said it, that, you know, he's a respected guy. You know, I hope that he's a smart guy, but to hear him, you know, kind of weary on Sam in the future, expected to be weary about the season the rest of the year, expected. The comment he made about Gase, I almost like had to go to the bathroom to throw up, because that was there. You didn't have to give him a vote of confidence. You didn't have to say, oh, he's fired. You know, you just had to say, we'll evaluate. You just had to say something just to appease us, because we're sitting in an 0-8 team. It's not like it's the Giants who are competing every week, and at least in losing, there was something to highlight on. You're giving us just crap. And in the second half, we've seen 4 yards 2 weeks ago, and we saw 37 yards last week. How on earth can you just give this guy a vote of confidence? What has he done that we don't see? He's got to be doing something. Otherwise, he runs the show there, and none of us know that.
Right, and I hate to do this to you, but I do have my next guest calling in. I'm going to address this in 20 minutes' time.
Stay tuned.
In the meantime, though, well, here's what I want to do. I do this to a lot of people who call in the show, and they sound as obviously distressed as you do. So, Jake, I'm going to give you a virtual hug over the phone. I'm reaching out, okay? I'm got my arms basically ready to embrace. Quick hug, tap, tap on the back, and then we separate. Okay.
Thank you.
I hope that makes you feel better. Okay, that's Jake in New York. Sounds like I was at that age. Poor kid. He's going to lose all his hair.
Poor guy.
Which is fine if you age as beautifully as I do. And you're telling me my next guest does not have his hair anymore? Is that the latest word?
Member of the Brotherhood. Rich.
Okay, very good. It has been 4 years since this gentleman stopped by in studio and provided us to date the most watched video in the history of the Rich Eisen Show on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. He is the star and host of Adult Swim's The Eric Andre Show. Eric Andre, how are you, Eric?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Beautiful. Yes, I can. Loud and clear.
So,
loud and clear. So and my hair is back. I'm sorry. I filmed most of the show last year.
Okay. So last year you did like the Vin Diesel sort of look.
I did the Vin Diesel. Yeah. I got rid of all my body hair except my eyebrows. So I bicked my head bald. I shaved my facial hair, but I also did my armpits. I nared my legs and I waxed my pubic hair.
Okay. So naring your legs, by the way, I don't know if I've ever heard that used as a verb, naring your legs, but I know what that is. Why did you do this,
it's
Eric?
A harsh chemical that probably will give you cancer later in life that makes your hair fall out. I did it for a creative experiment. Basically, the previous season of my show, season 4, I wanted to look like a prisoner in a North Korean detention center. So I lost weight. I didn't go out in the sun. I got really as pale as I possibly could. I grew my fingernails out and got them all dirty. I didn't wash or brush my hair. I didn't use deodorant, so I stunk. I didn't wash my suit once. And so this season, as an experiment, I wanted to do all the opposite choices that I made the previous season. So I gained weight. I got rid of all my hair. I put on a ton of cheap Brute cologne and Michael Jordan cologne that we found in the 90s. I got tan. I did spray tan, tanning bed, outdoor tan. I got as brown as I possibly could. And I ended up looking like Vin Diesel had sex with Cory Booker.
So what's the feedback from it? What's been the feedback?
Wait, first of all, I have the highest rated interview. Is that true?
Eric Andre, you appeared last on this show in 2016. I think it was September, right, Chris? September 2016.
September 2nd.
You showed up. You showed up September 2nd, 2016, wearing a T-shirt that was a perfect replica of the tattoos of J.R. Smith. And
I still got that shirt.
Yep. Do you still have that shirt?
I still have it. Yeah, I actually have two copies for some reason.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it's J.R. Smith's flesh. It's a very weird.
Yeah.
Very weird shirt.
But it looked great on you. And you appeared here.
I have a bootleg Ronnie Cycli jersey that I was debating between the J.R. Smith Flesher and the knockoff Little League Ronnie Cycli jersey.
I have not heard that name in so long. Is Ronnie Cycli still playing for Syracuse? I think he's in like his 25th year of eligibility.
I think so. I mean, he's incredible. Him and Harold Miner are kind of like my icons.
Baby Jordan. Baby Jordan.
Baby Jordan.
So, yes, you appeared on this show then. And what is the current total, Chris, of that YouTube video right now?
It is going to go over 2.5 million very soon.
Wow. Beautiful.
You're a popular guy, Eric. People seek you
out. Beautiful. What can I say?
Well, I mean, this is because you give them what they want, which is a North Korean prisoner 1 year and then Vin Diesel the next. I mean, you got your finger firmly on the pulse.
Correct.
You got your finger firmly on the pulse of what your fan base wants. So what has the feedback been of your current look? What's it been?
It took a toll on my love life. I did not look attractive. I kind of looked like Kojak drowned. That's kind of my.
Which, by the way, that's a great fantasy team name. That's a great NFL fantasy team name. Kojak drowning would be. And then let's get a shot of Eric Andre and use it as our avatar. We might have to change our team name.
If they found Telly Savalas' body at like the bottom of a pool, like that's kind of like.
I can't imagine how that would affect your.
I need hair to distract from
my God.
What's going on in my face.
Eric Andre, Adult Swim, The Eric Andre Show, back here on The Rich Eisen Show, airs Sunday at midnight on Adult Swim, and season 5 premiered just a couple of Sundays ago. So you said Jordan cologne. I forgot. Did Jordan really have cologne, or you just made that up?
Jordan, no. Michael Jordan did have a cologne. It was very short-lived, and it kind of smelled like his sweat.
So there wasn't like a certain Dracar Noir smell to it. It really was like a. It's
like, yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't really remember. But I not only put it all over my body, I drank a little bit of it. Just
very good.
Closer to Jordan. And
that all works out. That all works out for you.
Yeah.
I forget. Are you a fan of any NBA team? Any team at all, Eric? Do you
Miami Heat? Obviously, I'm dropping clues like a maniac. I'm a diehard Heat fan. Florida.
What'd you think of their run?
They had a good run. They had a good run. You got to give it to them, man. Like, who would have thought they would have gotten so far? You know, I think they'll do even better next year.
Well, Eric, I got to tell you, on our show, in the interim, since the last time you've been on and this time, we have noticed that if anybody makes a statement that they kind of believe but don't really believe, they go higher register. And you just went higher register about the Miami Heat.
I'm superstitious, so I don't like bragging and boasting about anything until something's happening.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's something definitely
much
happened.
Like, much like the election, I'm like doing a rain dance over. You just see me. I'm like sweating and doing a rain. I slept like 1 hour last night. I've been hitting my refresh button on my web browser.
Are you doom scrolling on your Twitter feed right now, Eric? Is that what you're doing?
I'm doom scrolling. I'm prophesizing. I got voodoo dolls all laid out. I'm sweating up a storm. Oh. I look like hell.
Let's talk a little bit more about your show, and then I'll send you back to your doom scrolling Wednesday right here. You had Along for the Ride guest stars this year, Robin Givens. How about when did you come across Robin? That's pretty cool.
Still beautiful. Still as beautiful as she was 25 years ago. I don't know. I think I might have this wrong, but I think her son suckered her into doing the show.
Okay.
And she was not. She was out of sorts, I would say, during the interview. We had like maggots popping out of food and cockroaches coming down from the ceiling. And I brought up Mike Tyson, which he did not appreciate. And it got tense. It was tense.
There's an awkward pause in your interview with Robin Givens. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, several. I'd say several.
Did she? I mean, how do you handle a situation like that? Do you enjoy the awkwardness? Do you relish in it?
Yeah, I'm mining for awkwardness. I am a truffle pig sniffing the soil, mining for awkwardness.
I guess I'm kind of the opposite. I try to avoid those moments in interviews, quite honestly.
Yes. Well, you are a classy, competent interviewer. I set my career out trying to be the worst interviewer of all time. And hopefully I'm succeeding.
What did you just say in my ear, Chris?
Oh, what's the most awkward one that you've had over the years?
Lauren Conrad walked out during an interview. Lauren Conrad walked out. T.I., the rapper, walked out. Robin Givens wasn't pleased. We had Blake Griffin on this year. He was like, Blake Griffin goes, that was so nerve-wracking. He goes, I was more nervous during your interview than during a playoff game.
Now, that's because, you know, he's got a reputation and he doesn't want to have something on, sitting out there forevermore. You know what I mean? I guess. But he's got a huge sense of humor, though, so you could pretty much go in any direction with him.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were lighting him up. I mean, we were hitting him. We were getting at him from all angles. I mean, we were torturing the guy. So
T.I. walked out.
He was
T.I. walked out.
Yeah, there was a lot of full frontal male nudity during his interview that he didn't really appreciate. You know, not his humor.
Oh,
which is fair.
See,
fair.
Now again,
stern but fair.
That's part of the way I try to avoid awkwardness here on the Rich Eisen Show is not to have that part of the interview process. You know?
Yeah. I have a different tactic.
You definitely do.
That's the difference between me and you.
Oh my gosh. Who do you want in your show that you haven't had, Eric?
I don't know.
Come on. There's got to be somebody.
We were trying to get Bill Cosby on this season, but that was tense.
That was a non-stupid. I guess you got to have to Zoom with him, I guess. Unless
we actually season one tried to interview Charles Manson. We were like coordinating, like reaching out and emailing the prison that he was at. He was still alive at the time. And we never did Charles Manson.
So was it a logistical problem for Cosby, or he just refused your Eric Andre?
We did not get a response.
You did?
Cosby
camp. Do you think he looked up your work? Do you think that could be it?
I think he researched it?
Let me see what Eric Andre's about. Oh, wait a minute. There's full frontal male nudity and maggots.
I don't think he has access to research materials right now. But, I don't know. Dream guests.
Come on.
Oprah would be nice. I mean, are we shooting for the stars here?
Yes, of course. That's I'm not going to hold you to it. But, I mean, Oprah would be quite an Oprah appearance on the Eric Andre Show might break every possible record, I think, and the internet.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
my
right.
Gosh. Fantastic.
100%.
All right, Eric, I appreciate the time. Let's not do it once every four years like the election, okay? It's 2016 and 2020, all right? Let's midterm it at the very least, okay? Let's do it.
Sounds good. All right.
You take care of yourself. That's Eric Andre.
All right, y'all. Talk soon.
You got it. That's Eric Andre, at Eric Andre on Twitter. We cannot mention his Instagram title on this show. As a matter of fact, that was a specific decision we made.
Wait, really?
Well, it's his. Let's just put it this way: it's his first
look
name.
Up his, look
I,
up
I
his,
haven't. I don't.
Look
I don't
up
know.
His Instagram.
All right,
name.
Stand by.
Let's just say it's his first name and his last name, and then the middle is a word that
is one that you cannot say on television.
Oh. So, think about it, and then you'll have it.
Oh, and let's see the photo from his previous appearance. There it is. That is exactly the body art of J.R. Smith, and you just looked up his Instagram.
I just looked up his Instagram.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. A specific name.
It's funny that was available.
It was.
He probably
somebody
had to buy
wasn't
from
squatting
somebody.
On that.
Yeah, nobody was squatting
Maybe
on that.
Maybe he went to GoDaddy and got it.
Maybe that's why he had to put that word in the middle because someone already had Eric Andre. That's
some people put an underscore.
Yeah, right. Or some
somebody
people,
put a dot.
I just had to hashtag him on Instagram today.
That word.
Let me see if that's available for you, Rich.
You have never said, hey, when this guest is coming on, let's use maggots. Never once.
No.
Never had a walk-off either.
So Robin Gibbons shows up no because her son said do it, and she didn't see it coming, huh? She didn't see it coming.
Rich, if you want a bat account on Instagram.
Rich Effenizen is available.
It's available.
Who knew?
It wouldn't really be a bat account if it's still his name, though, right?
Hey, Commissioner, do you want to follow me on Instagram?
Sure, Rich. What's your name?
Hey, RG1. I don't know if you're on Instagram. I know you're at NFL Commish on Twitter. Would you mind following me on Instagram? Here's my address, at Rich Effenizer.
Here's my ghost account.
My ghost account. Yeah. You know, people saying, you know, oh, hey, do you ever hover about hit and send on your tweets? And of course, you know, there are times you have to, you always have to think twice, three times, four times before hitting that thumb on your send button. And one of the people I think about all the time is, what would Roger think?
About what you're tweeting?
Yes. Of course. He's my boss.
He's the boss.
He's my boy, Blue. Can I say that?
Blue, you're my boy.
Okay. So Don's had enough of it. He wants to go to commercial break. 844-204-RICH. When we come back, the Jet stuff. We'll get to the Jet stuff. And more here in a moment.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Great weekend coming up on NBC. We've got ourselves a huge college football game, and then we've got ourselves a huge Sunday night football game. It starts with Clemson versus Notre Dame, 1-4. Chris Brockman will tell you the quarterback matchup. Chris?
Some guy named DJ and a dude from Notre Dame.
There you go. You're on it. Leading to...
Is it still Ian Book?
It leads to an all-new Saturday Night Live, and then NASCAR crowns a champion in Phoenix before Saints and Bucks. Saints win it. They get the season series. They sweep the Bucks and would take over first place in the NFC South. Bucks win it. That's a big step up. Antonio Brown's going to be back in the NFL. Sunday Night Football, Antonio Brown's return, just to make this a little bit more intense. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're back on our simulcast talking about the Sunday night football game.
That's a huge game, man.
Yeah, it is. It's a two-team race. With all due respect to Carolina, how about Carolina? Let's get Carolina put in Kansas City. You got Kansas City, Tampa, Detroit, Minnesota, and then that Week 13 bye. Maybe they should just wait to have McCaffrey come back and then use that bye week. For an extra week. What do you think of rest?
I think you
it's
should
too much?
I think you should call Matt Rhule and run that
Hey
by
Matt,
him.
Matt, I know you got four games, but why, you know, just make sure McCaffrey's okay for the stretch run and keep giving that ball to Mike Davis.
Just keep pounding Mike
who's
Davis.
Who's this Bonifon guy?
Just so Mazel Tov Mike can get some more run out.
Yeah, like, come on.
Saints go to 5-3, Bucks go to 7-2. That would be significant. Bucks go to 6-3. Saints go to 6-2, a half game lead, and then it would be also half game lead in their back pocket because they would have their tiebreaker in their back pocket. And then, by the way, Week 13 bye that Carolina has, the only other team that has that is Tampa, so they're going to come out of the gate with 12 straight. Big game. All right, I was kind of avoiding this subject, but I know I had to hit it because I heard it yesterday in between keeping an eye on everything going on in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
I do follow Michael Kay, my buddy Michael Kay, on Twitter. I love when he calls into the show. His interviewing is excellent, and I'm a fan of his as well as a friend. We go way back to when I used to work on ESPN, and I used to go to his Christmas parties in his house. And that was great. Listening to the general manager of the New York Jets, Joe Douglas, on the program yesterday, when he had this to say, and the subject of head coach Adam Gase came up.
In your opinion, can this team get to where you want it to be with Adam as the head coach?
Yes. You know, ultimately, like I said, I have to do a better job for all these coaches and players. And the hope is that we can fix these problems together and be here together for a while.
So you're saying he's part of the solution then?
Yes.
Okay.
How you feel about that?
You know what? I think Field Yates said it best. He retweeted that somebody said that Joe Douglas says that he can get Adam Gase can get the Jets to where they want to go. And Field Yates of ESPN said, yeah, drafting Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. And I saw that and I'm like.
That's zero wins, yeah.
So, you know, I know our caller earlier in the show, Jake from New York, saying how come he couldn't just say we're evaluating the position? If you say it was an excellently phrased question right there, right? An excellently phrased question. That wasn't I think that was just a Zoom. He was on Michael Kay's show later on. And is an excellently phrased question because if he gives them the vote of confidence there, by saying we're just evaluating the position, then he's answering the question, but he's not where he wants to go. And if he's not, then why is he still coach? So saying yes like that to the New York media means he is going to be taken at his word. And if they go 0-8 the rest of the way, as they should, then it will be on him. Well, you said he's the guy who wanted to go. You take you where you want to go. Why didn't you fire in the middle of the season? He's in a rock and a hard place. So you kind of had to answer, yeah, he's part of the solution here. Because if he's not, then why is he still the coach of an 0-8 team? Right? That leads me to believe he can't fire. That leads me to believe ownership has basically said, we don't want you to make this move. We've never made this move in the middle of the season. This is not going to be our first. We're not going to do it. That's what that leads me to believe. And again, the owner is, depending on the way that the internet is telling you what's going on in the election, is either going to be in the UK staying as the ambassador of the United States past January, or he's coming home. And he's going to come home and he's going to have to hire the right coach to hook up with Trevor Lawrence to make sure Trevor Lawrence does not look at the Jets and say, I don't want any piece of you. And I mentioned this on Dan Patrick's show yesterday. I've said it here and it gives me no pride to talk about this. I would much rather talk about how Sam Darnold is the real deal. And man, that win, even though they're 3-6, shows you that they've got the way forward. I would even take the Giants. If it was a year where it was a top defensive pass rusher who was the first overall pick, right?
Aaron Donald was coming out.
You know what I mean? Well, Aaron Donald was a 10th pick. I mean, that was a Les Snead special right there.
Yeah, that's sneaky good.
But somebody of his caliber, yeah. Yes. I would be sitting here saying, you know what? We've got to still see if Sam Darnold's the right guy. We've got to still see what it is and try our heart out. And I would still take the Giants, which is new coach, right guy. You could see he's the right guy. You could see that the players have already bought in. You could see that they're trying their asses off. You could see that they're improving. Evan Ingram loses the ball off his fingertips in week 7 on Thursday Night Football, lose to Philadelphia in week 8, makes that beautiful grab against the Buccaneers. Has responded. A positive response. I'm still waiting for Chris Herndon of the Jets to do something. It's matching his ability that I keep hearing so many great things about that he was on the trade block. I'm still waiting to see anybody developed. Anybody. I guess this kid Jeff Smith's being developed. I guess Robbie Anderson was developed, and then you let him go. I would take the Giants over the Jets right now if you weren't halfway home to easily the most spectacular quarterback talent I have seen come out of college, when it's not even a question as to who should be taken first overall. Even last year, had Tua been healthy, it would have been Tua or Burrow. And we have a guest on earlier this week saying if Tua was healthy, he'd have been first overall. Somebody said that to us. I forget who it was.
We were talking about that yesterday. This is probably the best QB prospect since Andrew Luck.
Yeah, Chris and I were speaking about this after the show yesterday, and I'm asking him, is Trevor Lawrence, is he really what the hype says it is?
Oh, my gosh. When he ran away from Ohio State's defense earlier this year, right, unless it was a semifinal game at the end of December last year, it was like, oh, God. Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He's agile. He's smart. He's also a great face of the franchise. He's already proposed to his beloved.
Yeah.
So he won't be hitting the town in New York. I'm serious, man. I mean, that's something that. That's one of the things I love about Darnold. He's not going to wind up on the front page of the Daily News, the Post.
No, he's not.
He showed up his first day as a Jet. He went to a children's hospital. He's amazing.
He's not dating Eva Longoria. Like Sanchez.
It's okay.
Yeah, but you can't blame
him. No, totally fine.
Sanchez still. I'm using that as an example of you can get into trouble. Sanchez never got into trouble, even though he was living the life of
Riley. No, but he was living the life.
Right. So that's. A star in New York living the life like Jeter did. You know, I mean, if you've got the right comportment for New York, like Eli had, he wasn't living the life, but he also was perfect for this media market.
Right.
Like Sanchez and Jeter and still be fine. I'm just saying he's not going to wind up on the wrong side of the newspaper when I say that he's not going to be clubbing it up.
Well, especially so, right now, there's no clubs open.
Again, so yes, I keep bringing it back to Trevor Lawrence, which makes me feel bad because I don't think Sam Darnold deserves to have a diehard Jet fan on national television and radio saying, you're done.
Right.
He doesn't deserve that. He deserves better. He's deserved better, and he deserves better. He deserves a new spot. And if it is, say, Pittsburgh, which has been bandied about even on this program by, I think it was Florio who pointed that out, then yes, while Big Ben maybe pulls a Brady and Garoppolo where he would be on the wrong end of that potentially, if Ben wants to play another 3-4 years, then try and find another spot. Could San Francisco be that spot? How great would that be for Sam Darnold? I would wish that for him. Now, today, I would wish that for him now and today. So I need to keep on saying that over and over again. So I can at least look myself in the mirror. And when I'm saying to somebody who's at the beginning of his career and had so much promise, and somebody who I have that T-shirt that Charlie Hook from NFL Network gave me, not the same darn old Jets that I wear a lot, that I'm sitting here saying goodbye, that I go on NFL Network and say, Trevor Lawrence, get well soon. He is that good. So when Joe Douglas is asked point blank, is he part of where you want to go? He could basically say, yes, you know, I want to go draft Trevor Lawrence. That is correct. But when you say that, is he going to be successful here? And you say, you know, do you think he can be successful here? Yes. I hope for Joe Douglas's sake that he will be able to handle the New York media when they come after him for that statement. Now, if he hires the right guy to hook up with Trevor Lawrence, we won't be talking about that answer ever again.
Rich, can I ask you a question?
Ever again.
As a Jets fan, if things do stay the way they are, and let's say you do get rid of Darnold and Lawrence comes in, if everything is still the way it is now, do you expect Lawrence to thrive and flourish
yes,
in the
because,
current system?
Because Joe Douglas was put in a difficult spot. Everybody who knows him says he is ready for this job of talent evaluation at the general managing level. Everybody tells me this. Mm-hmm. And so getting Trevor Lawrence and also having two first round draft choices for Jamal Adams.
Oh, okay.
And starting from scratch with your own coach that you've hired yourself. He deserves that shot too. So just like Sam Darnold got thrown in a situation where he's drafted by a team that had a defensive-minded head coach in Todd Bowles, who then they then fire and bring in a guy who is, you know, known for handling Cutler and obviously comes at the highest level of recommendation from Peyton Manning, which would definitely carry weight with me if I'm looking for a coach. But if you're looking for a coach who is going to, let's put it this way. Gase was in a tough spot, too, where the general manager that came in goes and gets Le'Veon Bell for a poop ton of money, and he didn't want to do that, and then they draft him. I mean, then they let this general manager go and draft a team and then fire him and then bring in Joe Douglas, who doesn't have anything to do with Adam Gase except the fact that they've now been mashed together. It's an ownership problem, which is your point, I believe. And that ownership problem will still be there. But Trevor Lawrence, Joe Douglas, and the right coach to hook him up with will go a very long way. And I bet on that more than the current situation by sticking with Sam Darnold. But beggars can't be choosers at 0-8, I'll tell you that. Except when I am begging for more losses. Then I can definitely do that.
Hey, real quick before we get out the door today. We talked about Kyle Brandt, about Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky. We had it on overreaction yesterday. Should the Bears go back to Mitch Trubisky? Well, we have an answer to that, guys. Mike Garofalo reporting that Mitch Trubisky, you know, he got in one play against the Saints on Sunday. Well, he suffered a shoulder injury on that play.
Get out of here.
Evaluations are ongoing. It was a read option play that he kept, was tackled, came down, and turns out he hurt his shoulder.
Oh, my gosh. Foles or bust?
Foles or bust.
Foles or bust. Let me just look again. I don't know this stuff off the top of my head. Oh, the Bears are now taking on Tennessee this week. Good Lord. There's the bust right down on the field. Oh, you know what? That's Don Bowie showing a Saint play right there. Don's at the controls of what you get to see right there. Don's at the controls. He loves his Saints. Final poll results over there, Christopher. What do you have for us?
Okay, so we had two polls today, guys, on Devin Hester's 38th birthday. Who's most deserving of Hall of Fame enshrinement? Devin Hester wins that, 42%. And which is the best movie where the villain gets served on Ralph Macchio's birthday? Karate Kid, 36%.
The kick, right? Yeah. And then the credits. Yeah. Kick. It's a kick.
Kick to credits.
It's a kick, a hug.
Right. And then
a nod from Mr. Miyagi.
Right.
Then credits.
And then the sequel starts with the scene all over again.
Fantastic.
Well, Miyagi-Do Karate.
Thank you to all my guests today for our radio audience. We'll see you Thursday tomorrow with Steve Mariucci and Michael Holly and more. And on Peacock, we'll take you to Michael Holly's show coming up.